Right, let's pray as I start. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to us through this passage today. Help us to have minds and hearts that are really open to you and your word. Amen. Well, as William mentioned earlier, Lent started this week. And so in light of that, I actually want to start with a bit of confession, because every year I think, right, I'm going to give up chocolate. This is the year. And so on Wednesday morning, I thought, right, I'm going to put everything away, no chocolate in the house. And I managed to go most of the day. And then I went to the Lent course feeling great about it. And unfortunately, on the Lent course, I actually broke my Lent because I had a chocolate cookie. So I'm going to blame William for that, but just be warned. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, oh, what's the point? You know, every year I try and do it, and I can never do it. But as I was reflecting on it, I thought, well, for some people, it's really important to give something up. And for some people, it's really important during Lent to take something up. And I think it's really important that we support each other in that. And in our passage today, we see that the Christians Paul is writing to are actually facing a similar issue. They're disputing and quarreling over secondary issues, and they've slightly lost sight of their focus. There's a spirit of rejection amongst them instead of a spirit of acceptance. And in the previous chapter of Romans, which we explored last week, Paul laid emphasis on the primacy of love. He said we are to love our neighbor and we are to love our enemy. And this passage today is an example of what it means to walk and act according to that love. And the example that Paul uses to demonstrate how we can act according to love is what he calls the weak and the strong Christians. There have been various debates about who the weak and who the strong Christians are, but the most likely explanation is that the weak Christians represented the Jewish Christians who were debating over food laws and whether they should eat on certain days. And therefore, it's assumed that the strong Christians were represented by the Gentile Christians who weren't as concerned by those food laws. However, strong and weak as titles could slightly mislead us a bit. And perhaps as this was being read, you were already thinking, oh gosh, which category am I in? Am I a weak Christian? Am I a strong Christian? But actually, that's not what Paul is concerned with here. In fact, he's actually celebrating the union between Jew and Gentile. He's not concerned with it because God has accepted them. The point he's making is that actually, as Christians, we should go out of our way to not judge each other on secondary issues. Instead, we should accept one another and pursue peace. And that's what we're going to unpack today from this passage. Therefore, let's just firstly get to grips with what these secondary issues are and what they are not. Although in this case they were debating about food laws and we might think, well, we can't relate to that. Actually, we face secondary issues all the time, like my example of Lent. Some Christians might look at another church and think, well, why do they have Holy Communion every week and that church has it only once a month? We might look at another church and think, why does the vicar robe? Why does that vicar not robe? We might think, why was that sermon only 7 minutes long? Why was that sermon 50 minutes long? Or we might even look at other Christians and think, why do they think it's okay to worship in that way? Why does that person think it's okay to go shopping on a Sunday? Until 1994, most shops were banned from selling anything on a Sunday because it was considered a day of rest. But now we see it's a very different climate. And Paul says, actually, it's okay to differ on some of these issues, as long as we don't get caught up and end up judging one another. Who are you to judge someone else? Because these matters are secondary. And although they're incredibly important and they're actually really relevant for all of us, they're not worth quarreling over. More than anything, they can sometimes distract us from worshipping God. And I've definitely had situations where I've been in church and I've got distracted by a song choice or the way that someone else is worshipping. And that's not what we want. We might have different opinions on these secondary issues, but let's not let them distract us from God. However, it is also really important to highlight that secondary issues are really different from primary salvation issues. Issues to do with our salvation, and they are the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And the weak and the strong in this passage would not have disagreed over these fundamental Christian issues. Things like, did the resurrection happen? Is Jesus the Son of God? They would have all been in agreement. But also over lifestyle salvation issues. Is drinking too much okay? Is it okay to commit adultery? Is it okay to gossip with friends? These are issues related to our salvation, and the weak and the strong would have all agreed on these matters. William said last week in his talk that love needs direction. And if we're wondering about what these salvation issues are, it's really helpful to ask these two questions. Do they contradict the Ten Commandments? And do they contradict Jesus? These issues of salvation are not up for debate. And as Christians, it's so important that we agree on these things. But secondary issues, well, Paul is saying, actually, it's okay to disagree on these things as long as we don't end up judging each other. So what might that look like for us here at St. Matthew's? Do we sometimes come to church with conceived expectations about what we want? Are we making every effort to pursue peace? Why is it so important then not to judge each other? Well, Paul gives us a few reasons in this passage, and I just want to briefly draw on two. Firstly, Paul explains that we should not judge each other because we don't want to destroy the work of God. I often find myself asking that question, Catherine, what is your motivation here? Is it to honor God? And so often it isn't. And so often I find myself having to go back and remind myself that actually it is God who deserves the glory. God is so clearly at work here at St. Matthew's in the lives of everyone here. And when we judge each other and we quarrel over these secondary issues, we're actually destroying the work that God is doing. And Paul uses this example to remind us that actually the reason that God is at work is because Christ has died and returned to life so that he may be Lord of both the dead and the living. Paul takes a very real issue happening amongst the Christians and brings the focus back to Jesus, who died for our sins in sacrificial love so that we can have a relationship with him. And perhaps you're here for the first time today, or perhaps you know someone who hasn't heard the gospel and you want to find out more. Well, I just want to encourage you to do that, whether that's through coming on the Lent course or chatting to people here, because this person, Jesus, is worth finding out about. Christ died for you. He died for each of us here. And God is at work through Jesus in our lives. So let's not destroy the work of God. And secondly, Paul reminds us that we should not judge each other because God is the judge. Sometimes I feel that that is actually quite a relief. Paul actually quotes Isaiah, reminding us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Each of us individually will have to give an account to God for ourselves, not other people. I will not be able to say, yes, but that person didn't give this up for Lent. Or that person went shopping on a Sunday. Why? Because God is the judge, not us. And Paul actually uses in this passage an analogy of a servant and a master asking the question, who are we to intervene in the relationship with someone's master? It is not our place to come between Jesus and a fellow believer. When our family first got a puppy, we were all just so desperate to train him. We were saying, you should do this. He needs to sleep here. He needs to eat this food. And when we actually went to some of the dog training, the instructor said to us, actually, whilst, you know, dogs need lots of love from everybody, they really do just need one master who's going to train them and lead them. And quite obviously, we are not like puppies, but we do need one master, and that is God. And I often think, actually, when I'm in the park, and people sometimes say this, that dogs can end up becoming, like, looking a little bit like their own masters. I don't want to make anyone here feel paranoid. But actually, when we follow God, that is our aim. We aim to look more like him. We aim to act more like him, and generally to become more Christ-like. So let's not lose sight of that question. What is our motivation? Is it to honor God? Paul reminds us in this passage that the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. Actually, it's about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's make that our motivation instead. So how then can we do this? Well, Paul explains that we should accept one another and actively pursue peace. Why is it so important to not condemn another believer? Because God has accepted them. In other words, Paul is saying we should welcome one another as God has welcomed and accepted us. And not only as just fellow believers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. And I remember when Freddie was first born, who's now about 10 months old, I was so overwhelmed by the incredible welcome that he received here at St. Matthew's. He was just shown so much love. And I had this realization that already he had brothers and sisters and family. He was part of a huge, amazing family. That's what Paul is longing for as he writes, that no matter what a Christian's strengths or weaknesses are, that he or she is completely loved and accepted through Christ. This is what so much of Romans is about. And John Stott says that that well-known principle to treat others as you would treat ourselves is a good and safe principle. But actually, it's even better still to treat them as God does. So let's get alongside each other. Let's support one another, and let's pursue peace in our church community. For the kingdom of God is about joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And we want a community that looks more like that. A community like this is one where Jesus is truly glorified. Therefore, let's think about that question. What might be some of the stumbling blocks that stop us from doing this? What secondary issues often distract us from really being able to pursue peace? How can we help each other to focus more on Christ? And as I come to close, I want to emphasize again that this passage is an example of what it means to act in love. And perhaps Lent might be a time for us just to stop and reflect about the different ways we can do that, the different ways we can demonstrate love to one another. Paul reminds us that even if we disagree on some of those secondary issues, let's not judge each other or condemn each other. Remembering what Jesus has done for us as Lord really just helps us to keep that perspective. We all have a responsibility as Christians to make sure that our own consciences are right before God and to constantly keep checking our motivations. So let's not destroy the work of God, but instead actively encourage each other and accept one another. In doing so, as a church family together, we can then pursue peace and live lives that really make Christ the focus. Amen.